Welcome to Wolf Tales, where you'll be hearing stories from our own staff and volunteers here at Wolf Connection. We'll also be speaking with artists, photographers, videographers, and musicians about the way the wolf has influenced their work. This edition of Wolf Tales is very special for Stephen and myself because we actually have one of our pack's former caretakers with us. So coming from Frederick, Maryland is Alicia Jones. Alicia, awesome to see you again. Glad we just saw you recently when you came back to visit Jax. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I wish I was still over there in California. The weather over here in Maryland is a little bit dull. But yeah, how are you guys? Good to see you again.
Yeah, you as well. We're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing really well. This is a first for us because we actually get to talk to someone who had one of our pack in their care for whether it was a short period of time or not. And you can really go into the details of what it was like to have him. So I really want to start out, how did you happen across Jax? What was that experience like and how did he come into your care?
Okay, so this is going to be kind of a long answer, but I feel like I kind of have to go through and explain it because it's not every day that people just foster wolves. So my mom works for a vet. And so we've always been into animals. We've always had tons and tons and tons. We used to have a really great setup with lots of land. And when I was super young, my parents made the choice to get a Native American Indian wolf dog. Now I am of age now and have my own understanding. And I know that wolf hybrids should definitely be not pets. So that's different. But when I was a kid, I had one. He lived a long, great life. His name was Miko. And that got me super into wolves and the environment. And I've always just been interested in even just the pack aspect. And, you know, humans are pack animals too. So I think there's always so much to learn. But my childhood, I just got super into wolves. Point, end of story. I was obsessed. So when Miko passed away at, he was almost 16, that was 2 years ago. But so I had him for most of my life and I would bring him around with me and people kind of knew me as like the wolf girl. And I have a wolf Instagram too. So people just kind of would tag me in things and think about me. And then when he passed, that was, you know, hard. And a lot of people reached out. And then after that, somebody tagged me in a Facebook post. I guess this would have been, I guess it was a few months after he passed. So I guess more than 2 years ago now, but someone tagged me in a Facebook post of this wolf hybrid that needed to be rehomed because this family couldn't take care of it. So that was in Tennessee. I looked at it and, you know, my sister was like, oh my gosh, like we have to go help. And I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't really busy. So I was like, yeah, why not? So we drove to Tennessee. We picked up this wolf from this family and really, thank gosh, they only had the wolf for, I don't even remember at this point, but not long at all. Cause he was only, I think he was only 11 weeks when I got him. So I think they only had him for like 2 weeks, but you could tell that first of all, you could tell right away, he wasn't a dog at all. And they were under the impression that he was, mid to low content. They thought he was 40 to 50%. So right away when I met him, my other one that I had had in the past was 80%. We did a DNA test. So I was like, this wolf pup is like a serious high content. Like there's no way it's mid. And he was in a small cage. They hardly let him out. He was scared of everything. Like it just was clear that he wasn't where he needed to be. So we drove him back to Maryland. I would have loved to keep him, but I am out of college. I was just fresh out of college at that time. I didn't have a space that would be fair to keep a wolf. And also they do need friends, you know, they need a pack. So it just wouldn't have been fair. And I had been already kind of searching around and familiar with other wolf sanctuaries in the area. And I already knew of Wolf Connection. So I kind of just took this is such a long answer, I'm sorry. I kind of just took this as an opportunity to get to kind of help out in like the wolf community and try to find the best match for him. And especially after meeting him, I knew that he wouldn't, like, it could have been the best homeowner in the entire world with like a huge forest, but he's not supposed to be a pet. So I took, I guess like 3 months interviewing different sanctuaries. I started with East Coast first because I was like, you know what? I would love to be able to go see him and visit him. I just was always in love with Wolf Connection, and there were some benefits that you guys do that I wouldn't have gotten with other sanctuaries. So there was a lot of reasons, but yeah, I picked you guys, and so that's how I got into it. Long answer.
Wow, and I do love that you did the research, and it's such a great story to hear. Is that you? The fact that you're interviewing sanctuaries and you're interviewing places of where you want to put Jack so that he has the best life for himself. So when you looked at us, because I heard again through the grapevine, because you and I were two ships passing in the night when you came out and visited, and we'll get to that in a minute. So what was it about Wolf Connection specifically that worked, that you felt was going to work out best for Jackson? How did you know about us prior to this? Was this in high school that you knew about Wolf Connection and that you did a report or a paper or something like that, right? Is that what I heard?
Yeah. So I was super into wolves. I don't even remember what classes I took in high school anymore, because it's been, I don't know, I graduated in 2014. So it's been a bit, but I took some type of like nonprofit class or something, and we had to look up our favorite nonprofit and write a paper on it. So I was looking into wolf sanctuaries, because having a wolf dog growing up, I know, you know, people get scared, people have opinions. There's a lot, it's really controversial. So I am super aware of their need for wolf sanctuaries, because a lot of hybrids that get taken in as pets don't get the proper care. They can end up hurting someone, or they can end up just being totally neglected. I mean, there's a huge need, and they can't be just let out into the wild, because they wouldn't survive. So I know that there's a huge need for sanctuaries. I did research, and what I thought was so cool about Wolf Connection is you guys don't just help wolves, you help wolves and at-risk teens and children with wolf therapy. And so that's kind of two of my favorite things, is wolves and then, you know, mental health and, you know, working with kids with adversity. So I thought that that was like the number one thing. I thought that was so cool that no one else was doing. And then aside from that, through the research, I wonder if I still have my notes on this. I interviewed someone, I'll have to go back and look. It's on my old Mac, but I interviewed someone and asked all these questions on how you guys work and, you know, how you pair the wolves together. And out of all the companies that I've spoke with, you know, you guys put the most time and effort into the relationship, into the pack training, into making sure that there are, you know, minimal, you know, attacks with the dogs or wolf dogs, hybrids, wolves, however you want to classify. But you put a lot of time and effort into like the relationship part, which a lot of other sanctuaries that I spoke with didn't. They either just throw everyone together, which is, you know, cause for chaos, or they're all super separate, which is like a zoo. So you guys definitely took the most time and thought into what you're doing. So those are kind of the reasons that I guess fell in love with you guys. And then I actually did another project on you in college, which I'm pretty sure I could find that one too, because it was kind of a recycled project, but it was a nonprofit class, marketing for nonprofits. And I did a paper or something. It was a few years ago, so I'll have to look it up and send it to you guys. But I was like, oh, I'll use the same one. And so that's when I realized maybe that's when you got more into wolf therapy, or maybe that's when you guys kind of started more on social media, because you definitely had grown at that point. And then so when I got Jax, I immediately was like, oh my gosh, Wolf Connection. And it's so funny, because I had friend requested Teo on Facebook a year before, because my dream job was to work for Wolf Connection, and he accepted it. So then I messaged him on Facebook and I was like, hi, this is like weird, but I have this wolf that I'm fostering. He's really great, and I would love to talk to you guys and see if it would be a good fit. And then we had a few phone calls. I sent him a lot of videos because, you know, he was curious about the temperament and everything like that to see if he'd fit in. And yeah, it ended up working out.
And kudos to you. People, you know, they keep these rare or exotic animals, whether it's wolves or tigers or whatever, even when they have that awareness to know that they don't have the space or they can't provide the life that animal really, really needs. You know, pack members and even the right food seems to be a huge challenge for people. What do you think, what can you credit with giving you the strength or the wisdom to know that giving him the right resources was more important than what is really a very special thing is to have this awesome animal with its, you know, wild side intact to some degree. And, you know, we understand how special that is, but what can you credit to the wisdom you had that allowed you to just do what's best for him really?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think, you know, I was young when I had Miko as, I guess till he was six, he was difficult to say the least. And that's because he has, you know, 80% of him, he's not supposed to be domestic. And so we did have many dogs when I had him. We had a Rottweiler, we had two German Shepherds. So we had like a little pack for him. That was when I was younger. And so I think a few things right off the bat that I knew that it would be best for Jax. Number one, I don't have any more large dogs anymore at this point. I don't have a proper enclosure. And even if I did, it would be lonely. Mm. The food itself, that is huge. I'm glad that you brought that up. That's something we could even go into next because like Jax with food is crazy. but it is expensive. I mean, to properly feed a wolf is super expensive and he would not eat regular food. So I had to go get him chicken and eggs and like, he was eating better than me for 3 months. And that is like having a kid. But I just kind of knew it wouldn't be fair. And being like such an animal, like environmental person, I think it would have been really hypocritical for me to keep something, knowing that I'm like cutting off its, what it's meant to do. This is actually a sidetrack, but, you guys have probably not read it, but the bestseller Untamed, either one of you heard of it or read it?
Is that the book that Amanda was reading?
Yes. It's by Glennon Doyle. Yes. That's I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is by Glennon Doyle. The first two pages, she's describing how she went with her wife and took her daughter to the zoo and they're watching the cheetah. And she said she wasn't happy at all because the cheetah is like clearly looking around wanting to be somewhere else. And so it's cool because the rest of the book is like how she realizes she's a cheetah and, you know, but it is, I just don't think, you know, I don't love zoos. I get the purpose. But it's the same thing. It was really cool having Miko when I was younger. And I think we did have a better setup for it. But in general, I do totally believe that, you know, wolf dogs and hybrids and wolves are meant for nature. And, they're not going to be happy, you know, being locked up and confined somewhere. And I would take him on walks. Like, so my neighborhood had group dog walks and he loved the dogs. Like he would just cry being like coming back. So it was just so clear that he needed to be with a pack.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I mean, we get that with him now too. Even when we do events and when we take him out on group hikes, he's very social. So did you see that initially with him that he's a very social wolf dog or wolf and that he, obviously you've been saying a couple of times that he really needed his pack. But for you, I think at that young age, to be able to put all of those pieces together, like Steven said before, and realize what's best for him is fairly rare to find in people that sometimes we run across. It's very unique to find that.
It was hard. I definitely was upset about it. It was super hard. My brother was super upset about it too. But it just was the right thing to do. But actually his temperament, when we got him, he was so scared of everything. I mean, I expected that to an extent, but I mean, terrified. And I don't live in the city. I live in Frederick, Maryland, which to paint a picture for you is pretty like country. I mean, not all of Frederick is country, but I, you know, we have land. I have this nice creek behind our house. I would like walk him to like 12 times a day because, you know, he loves walking. I was fortunate at this time in my life. I was a server and a waitress. So my schedule was super flexible and I pretty much just took off a lot because I was, I don't know, that's just what I decided to do with my life at the time. But so I had the time to be able to like take the proper care for him. And then I had the time obviously to do the road trip. But I spent a long time just kind of with me and him at first, getting him comfortable with me. And then taking him on walks with the other dogs was super important. He never was aggressive with any dog. It's so crazy. He never barked. And obviously he's, we did a DNA test. I can send that in too. And he is 100% not dog is what it came back. So, so I actually got reported for that, which is kind of funny because my mom works at the animal hospital and I guess whatever DNA company they called in and they said, hi, you know, somebody that uses your vet actually has a wolf or some type of feral animal. So we're calling to report it. And my mom's like, it's my daughter, but she's like, it's going to a sanctuary. So that's a side note, but he got definitely much more social over time.
Yeah. Well, he still loves to walk, except he's much, much stronger than when he came. I mean, it's unbelievable how strong he is. And he still jumps at any chance to go for a walk and he's still super social, but he's very confident now. So, I mean, when he first came, he was what you're describing, very submissive and like wormy.
Yeah. Like a noodle.
Yeah. Like a little, well, I think a man used to call him noodle actually for a long time. He came real noodly and now he's like, he's a proper wolf, man.
Yeah. He was like a little teen. Well, I guess now he's a teen because I guess back then he was like a little wolf child. I don't know. But I remember when he got introduced to the nanny pack. Yeah, he was scared. He was like putting his head down, his tail between his legs. And that's kind of how we met other dogs too. Yeah, he was timid. So it's cool that I guess he's more confident now. Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's definitely grown into himself for sure. I mean, I think we weighed him last and he's around 95 pounds or something. I mean, it's crazy when you see the pictures from when you first brought him to us and we were like, oh, he's a little small guy. We don't know what he's going to grow into. And then to see him really in that first year, really grow up in front of us. Cause it's rare to get wolves and wolf dogs at such a young age to be able to see them form and physically grow and behaviorally grow. And for us to see Jax from this little pup to now he's two, it's just leaps and bounds. Like Steven said, he's so much more confident. You know, he still gets corrected here and there. But what was that like for you on that drive then? Because that you mentioned it before, just, I guess even just the distance. I mean, how is that for you to keep him, I guess, safe? Well, I don't think safe's the word, but just to get him across the country because you're driving from Maryland to California. You know, what was that like just to get him here?
Well, just commenting on size really quick, because I did notice how much bigger he got too. When he came to, well, he didn't come to us. When I went to him, he was super small and they said, you know, he wouldn't eat. And so we looked into what he was eating and, I don't know if he's the same for you guys, with this, you can let me know. But so I had to feed him. I did give him a little bit of like kibble or, dog food, but mostly meat, chicken, eggs, sometimes deer, cause my brother hunts. So I had to give him a lot of meat because he wouldn't eat, just kibble. So I think he was really skinny with me too. Cause, I mean, it's hard to have enough food. I mean, don't they have to have like, I could be so wrong, so you guys correct me, but isn't it like 7 pounds of food in order to reproduce or something if you're a wolf or a wolf dog? I don't know. I probably totally wrong or saw that out of a YouTube video or something. But
in some of our podcasts, we've been hearing folks talking about them taking like 20 pounds of meat at a time. But to sustain, we feed them, I don't even remember, a pound and a half or 2 pounds or something in the morning of meat.
Yeah, he's still at 2 pounds. He gets 2 pounds of meat in the morning and then he gets kibble at night. So he actually kibble has a pretty night, good yeah. balance of kibble at night. Yeah. So he's pretty balanced. Yeah. But that's good. I mean, the fact that he was getting venison with you is great.
It wasn't every day, but I did try. We do have like frozen deer that we needed to get rid of. So it worked out. But I will say I have one scar from him. And it's from feeding him. I know you guys feed him behind a gator. I'm not sure exactly how you do it, but I think Renee mentioned something like that. Well, I didn't have that. So I would, you know, have him in the kitchen and just try to really quickly do it. And it's not that he was trying to be mean, but he would get so excited and jump up and try to bite it from me. So I have this, I mean, you're probably not gonna be able to see it on camera, but I have a scar from him, but he didn't mean to do it. But anyways, this ties into the road trip because the hardest part of the road trip was feeding him by far, because I couldn't have meat in the 5-day trip. Like I couldn't have a cooler. And so I guess I'll back up a little bit. So I posted, I needed a way to get him. I was on the phone with Teo talking about this. I'm like, Teo, I can't fly him. I don't know how I'm going to afford to get him there. And so we're brainstorming and I just had a feeling that I would figure something out. So I posted on this Facebook page and I was like, does anyone have any tips on like a cheap trip to California? Because I'm going all the way across. I mean, I'm Maryland. So that's like literally as far as you can go. And this woman reached out and was like, actually, I really need someone to drive my truck to California for me because I'm flying. And she had a beagle dog that I needed to drive to. Mm. And so I was like, great. Yeah, I'll do it. My friend was going to come with me and I was going to just figure it out. Well, my friend backed out. So then her son said that he would join me. So now I'm driving cross country with a stranger in a truck. I've never driven a truck in my life with a wolf and a beagle.
Jeez.
Yeah. And Jax was like super hyper. So she was like, oh, you don't need to keep him in a crate. But I was like, I don't think you understand. Unfortunately, like he has to be because there's no way he would have eaten the entire car or had like, you know, like massive diarrhea. Like it would have been a mess. It would have been horrible. So I had to have a large crate. And then the other dog was free. So he was probably jealous, which I felt bad. And we drove. What I got was a bunch of cat food from my mom's work so that it's wet food. So that it's like, you know, it's kind of like meat. It's better than just, you know, dry food that he won't eat. So I stacked up on that. I stacked up with gallons of water. And we just stopped very frequently to take him out on walks. He definitely was freaked out because obviously he's not used to, you know, highway or, you know, even restaurants, you know, gas stations. So it was hard. He definitely had a few accidents in his crate that's like difficult to clean out while like on a road trip with somebody you don't know. So it was definitely hard. And to make things harder, I wasn't driving, but the guy that I was with was driving and we hit a deer on the highway and lost the front bumper and lost all air conditioning. And this was in Tennessee. So we still had to drive all the way across the country with no air conditioning. And my first thought is, oh my gosh. First of all, if a police officer comes, like, how do you explain having a wolf? I mean, I could call Teo, you know, I could make it work. But then I'm like, now we have no air conditioning and I'm hot. So I know that he's going to get hot. Funny part is a police officer did come and he actually was super nice. And he didn't even ask about Jax. He asked about the beagle. Like he was looking in the back of the car and he's like, wow, what kind of dog is that? And I thought that he was talking about Jax and he was talking about the beagle. I'm like, how did you not notice the wolf in the back of the truck? Yeah. So
Yikes. That's miserable.
Yeah, we made it though. I ended up going to the gas station and getting like 2 pound bags of ice, and I put it on either side of the crate and then on top of the crate. And then I even put one in there with him, and I have pictures of him like sleeping on it and like licking it. I felt bad. It definitely was hard, but it's better than, I mean, it was the only thing I could think of to do. So we just kind of had to work with it.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow.
Man, that's a trip of attrition right there to get all the way out here. And then I remember when you showed up with him that he was on a retractable leash. And I was like, wow, look at this little guy. And to see what he is now, it's really just like a cautionary tale. And it, you know what I mean? Of thinking about, there's gotta be somebody somewhere that has probably an 85 to 95, you know, 90 pound wolf or wolf dog out there. And who knows if they got him on the right leash or if he's on a leash at all. And I'm just thinking, man, this is, you know, this is such a crazy situation. But the fact that you got him to us in the way that you had to get him is, again, kudos to bringing him out here. So when you drop him off, and I don't even know, was that you basically dropped him off and you headed back, right, to Maryland? It was kind of, you dropped him off, said goodbye, and you flew back, right? Is that kind of how it went, Alicia, or was it different? I can't remember.
No, it actually is pretty different. So the guy that I traveled cross country with, the original plan was that him and I would travel back across the country together. We had some, it just didn't work out like that. I think he was over it. I think maybe the wolf was enough for him. So he actually left me at Wolf Connection. I had no service, and you guys were so nice, but I was like, wow, like you're nice, but how, like now I'm left here stranded. And I forget who it was. I think maybe somebody named Katie drove me later that day to somewhere closer to LA. And then I had a friend pick me up in LA. I ended up staying for a week, and I tried to go back and see Jax again, but we didn't want to make him upset. So then I flew home. But yeah, it didn't go as smoothly as I wanted it to, but it was totally worth it. And it was definitely an interesting time. So I got dropped off there. I got to see him with the nanny pack. It was definitely emotional. It's definitely cool. Got to talk to a few of you guys, and yeah, I'll never forget it.
Wow. Well, we're glad he's there, but you more than anyone else have to have some words of warning to folks who are trying to look for wolf dogs. I always think all the time, like, a wild wolf is the best case scenario, a sanctuary is the second best, and private ownership is the very last case scenario. But you've got to have a message.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's actually funny. When this was kind of going on, or right after this, that's when the Tiger King thing came out. Right. And it relates, I think, really wolves, but totally. Any big cats, any wild animals should not be had as pets. I mean, they really shouldn't. First of all, if you are such an animal person, it's a bad look to have a wild animal, because anyone who's really into animals will know that that's an unhappy life for whatever species it is. Just alone, it's not a good look. It's not happy for the animal. They're not getting the proper care. And then just to see how much more, just seeing Jax alone thrive in his environment with you guys, I mean, it's painful to picture wolves and wolf dogs or any animal that's trapped in a single family home or a townhouse or however people have it. Just doing so much damage. It's just not fair.
Yeah. And they can put up with a lot, you know? So I think sometimes the communication barrier, it can be confusing for people. You know, they think the animal's happy because it's not in some like extreme, you know, freak out all the time. But in reality, they can put up with a lot of anxiety and pain and discomfort. And so it's hard to let that sink in for some folks that, you know, the animal looks docile, but that does not mean that they're thriving.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, coming from someone who I grew up with, well, in 2004, before 2004, it was legal in Maryland to have a wolf dog. After 2004, it wasn't, but my parents got ours before 2004. And so being someone that grew up with a wolf dog, it is, you know, some people could say that I'm being hypocritical, but it wasn't my choice. And if anything, that solidifies my opinions more because I did see the differences between him and my Rottweiler and the two German Shepherds that I had. There's massive differences and there's reasons that I connected so much with him. My old wolf dog never barked and I don't know if this is real or not, or if this is from Twilight, but imprinting, you know, like how they have a strong connection with like one person or... we were that connection. We both had anxiety and, you know, my friends would come over and be like, why doesn't your dog sit? Or why doesn't he come? Or why doesn't he do these things? And I'm like, because he's a wolf. He's not a golden retriever. He doesn't care about human validation or he doesn't care about getting a treat. Like he's going to do his own thing. And I always thought that was like a beautiful part about it. So it's, it definitely, you know, I hate to be one of those people that had one, but from having one and he did live a great long life, you know, whatever, but it's so clear to me that he was never getting to be himself. You know, he always wanted to go do more and be more and he was never comfortable. He would pace in circles. And, you know, when I had Jax would do the same thing. And when I visited you guys 2 weeks ago, I noticed a few of you guys's wolf dogs pacing. And I was like, that's so funny because that's what Miko always did too. Mm. And they do experience human-like emotions. Like they, and I don't know, I love wolves. I think that's why, you know, some people are dog people and I'm definitely a wolf person. I think they are so different from dogs, so different.
I just think, I love your growth just from having Miko to Jax, because while you say you hate to be someone that owned one beforehand, to see the growth, I think just for yourself in having one before Jax, and then the time it took you to realize Jax doesn't need to be here, I need to do the research for you to question and then find the right place for him, I think is a huge growth edge for someone to not to say, oh, I'm going to try again and do it better. I'm actually going to find the right situation for where this wolf or wolf dog needs to go. And I think that's huge. So it's a learning curve, if nothing else. And that's for us to see that, that's beautiful. I mean, talk about when you came back here, because it was a little while ago. And I know from what I understand from Renee and Elena, he did recognize you because it wasn't as long of a time, I think, as many would think. What was that interaction like when you came back and saw him for the first time in a while?
Yeah, I guess it had been maybe a little bit over a year and a half since I'd seen him. Because he got to you guys in the very end of August, I want to say. And then I just came back, you know, a few weeks ago. So I think it was a little over a year and a half. And I was, you know, curious if he'd be able to recognize me or not. I was pretty confident he would, but he did. So just like, you know, walking up to him and seeing him do his little thing where he like scurries in a circle and then like gets all low and then like jumps up. Like it just reminded me of exactly how he was whenever I would greet him coming home. I took so many pictures and videos. It was crazy. He had grown so much, you know, his coating had changed a little bit. He was still like the same little like wormy, like rolling on the ground. He just was like so much bigger. And his eyes had changed, you know, he looked so much stronger. And then when Elena, I think, pulled him out to kind of go on a walk, he was like pulling her to come over and say hi. And it just, I mean, it was great. Like saying bye to him was really hard. So I've always wanted to get the chance to come back and say hi. And I, it finally worked out. So yeah, initially seeing him, I was so emotional. It was great. And then going on a walk with him and just seeing him be like himself in the nature, just sniffing things like, you know, he always did. And like we were trying to go across a bridge and he was like, nah, and, you know, went in the mud, in the water. Just, he's just funny. And, you know, seeing him with Luna and, you know, Renee, it was great. I, you know, can't wait to see him again. I'm definitely going to keep coming back for sure.
Yeah. I mean, what's that like for you as a former caretaker now, just to see that? And is there proof in what, I don't want to say validation, but do you feel like there's, like it all came in, you know, it all worked out in the way it should have with Jax in the end?
Yeah, definitely. And I think there, I mean, there is proof with it. He's grown physically. There's proof. You know, maybe he could have grown like that at a house, but probably not. You know, he gets to stretch and use his muscles the proper way. He gets to eat properly. He gets to have the mates, the pack members that he needs. He just seemed, you know, free. Like he's not, you know, locked up. I'm not, when I had him, my mom made me bathe him because she was like, you know, he is disgusting. That was a challenge in its own. Just like trying to do that and, trying to have him. I just know that people would message me on Instagram because I did post him a lot and I did have quite a few people say, I will buy him from you. Like, you know, I'll take him. And I said no to everyone because it just, I don't care if you have five, you know, acres of land. I don't care if you have 500. He needs a certain setup and you're right. He, you know, he can't be wild. Wild would be the best thing. But he couldn't. And so he either would have ended up, you know, getting hit by, I mean, this is something else to go into. People, if you don't have a proper setup, you guys have double fences and they're, I don't even know how many feet high, but wolves can jump, wolves can climb. You know, they can get out. My old wolf dog, Miko, escaped many times. So they can get out, they can get hit by a car, they can eat livestock. There's a lot of things that can happen. They can end up in the Humane Society. They can end up getting put down. So, I mean, you never know what could have happened to Jax if he stayed with that family or if he stayed with me. You never know.
Yeah. And those kinds of that kind of risk, those types of, you know, obviously unintended results of having an exotic animal that can dig a hole deeper than you could imagine. I mean, we had wolves that we considered elders that were digging like, you know, tunnels under the ground. And we've seen wolves almost clear 8 feet. Like, I mean, they're very athletic, but those kind of unintended results of having an exotic animal, them getting out, them getting hit by a car, them eating livestock, if you consider yourself to be a wolf lover or a pro wolf advocate, you know, in the sense of conservation, you don't want any of that happening. You want to be able to keep these animals where they're supposed to be, so not to give off the wrong impression of the species, because there's a long-term result of not making the right decisions up front with an animal like this.
Yes, 100%. And people, people would see him in my neighborhood, Jax, and be like, that is not a dog. And, you know, I was like, yes, it's not a dog, but you know, he was nice and he actually got along great with everyone. But so I think in my neighborhood, at least, it gave a great representation. You know, people were like, wow, you know, they are, first of all, they saw how different he was. So everybody on my street was very aware that he needed to go somewhere. No one was like, oh, you're quitting, you know? So that was good. And then everyone also realized that, you know, they aren't, you know, these horrible monster animals. So So it was actually a good thing. But yes, when somebody has a wild animal that's not tamed, even like pit bulls get a bad rep. Any animal that animal can paint a picture for that person, and then that person can tell 10 people, and then 10 people will tell that story. So definitely one animal can paint a picture. And so there's definitely a bad picture painted of wolves across the board.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that's why it's so key that, you know, we had this discussion with you, because it's very rare to have a firsthand account to really dive into what it was like and really to push out the message of ownership of these types of species are really not something that needs to be, you know, in the forefront, in that if you see an exotic animal that is somewhere it shouldn't be, it needs to go to sanctuary, or it needs to go, you know, like Steven said, you know, a zoo is probably it's the next tier down, I guess, in terms of it, but it can't be in a place, in a domestic place, that things could happen that would be a detriment really to the animal itself. And I think sometimes that's where it gets lost, is that people say, oh, well, it'll get taken and put into a shelter. And a lot of these wolves and wolf dogs get put down because they can't get adopted back out or put back out. And I think that's a huge message that we try to push here, is that there's that consequence of having an animal like this.
Yeah. And the PSA worth mentioning is, the only time I ever have seen somebody say like, oh, I have a wolf dog and it worked out, is when they were wrong and it wasn't a wolf dog. I mean, they show me a picture of it and I'm like, that is 100% without a doubt, not a wolf. And that's why it worked, you know? But whenever I've met somebody who had a wolf dog, they always had one because they brought it to a sanctuary. It never worked out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And one thing I do want to comment on, I don't think that people, you know, these people that do have exotic animals, I don't think that they're all horrible people.
No, of course not.
No, not at all.
But they do have the wrong, there's something. They want the exotic. And so not to, you know, I love my family. My mom, you know, works at a vet. She's been a hospital manager for 30 plus years. And she came across wolf dogs because somebody brought one in. And that's kind of how she got into getting Miko. Miko did have a great life. Do I think he could have had a better life? Yeah. He still could have, but we did have a good setup, but he still could have had a better life. And it's not even legal here anymore. So then it gets into conversations. You have to lie at the vet. You have to lie about these things. Like, people go through these crazy hoops, and it's just for what? For your ego, you know?
Yeah.
It is definitely a whole conversation to be had. I don't think they're bad people. I think they are confused on what the animal actually needs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's a very good point to bring up, is that definitely I've also not met someone who said they had a wolf dog that I considered to not have good intentions. They all had great intentions. This is all about reconnecting with your primalness. And that's a very important and worthy endeavor in your life. It's not something to take light, but in this particular case, the animal is the one who suffers, but it's generally in with good intentions. So it's a good point.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with you, Alicia. Yeah, no, that's huge. And I think that's, you both are right and you're spot on. And I think that's something that we all try to push out there, is that we are, you know, we're here to just say that everybody that, you know, really take stock of what you're doing. And there are so many stories just within our own pack of wolves, of people that had great intentions. They love these wolves. They love these wolf dogs. There is nothing but love, I think, that comes from the initial, you know, whether it was a purchase, whether it was a gift, whether it was somehow they found them. And I think the best of intentions are there, and that, you know, eventually it just comes down to the fact that they made it to us at Wolf Connection, I think, is the greatest, you know, commitment and something that people can do. And I think that's great that eventually it comes to that point where they say, this is the best avenue for them. And it may take longer for some, and shorter for others. But I think that's eventually it comes to that point, which I agree with you. So that's great.
It's actually, it's kind of crazy. Once I had Jax and was posting my road trip and Wolf Connection, I had a lot of people reach out to me about their wolf dogs and saying, oh, can you come pick mine up? And can you take mine to Sanctuary too? And I'm like, part of me was like, you know what? I could make this a thing. There is like in my DMs, there was 4 different wolves that needed to be placed. And I'm like, well, it took a lot to get Jax placed, and it takes a lot for every animal. You know, it's the cost of feeding them. Attention they need. It's, you know, making sure it's a good fit. And then the enclosure itself. So I know it was hard to get Jax in with you guys because Teo almost said it couldn't happen. And then you got a donation. But there, people were like, what is a wolf sanctuary? Is there even a need for that? There's a huge need for it because there's so many people that are like, wow, I realize I can't handle this hybrid. I would love for it to have a better life. And then really there's tons of wolf sanctuaries that are packed full. So in the future, I would love to, you know, I wish that we didn't have a need for this, but I definitely see the need for it. And, you know, I'd love to either be a part of a wolf sanctuary, whether it's working or volunteering, or having my own, you know, because there is, even in my DMs, you know, they're flooded with people that help, whether they get old or they have trauma or they get sick or they can't take care of it, or maybe the wolf dog was advertised the wrong way. It was, you know, they said it was a German Shepherd. It's not, whatever it may be. There is a large group of people that aren't taking proper care. So there's always going to be a need for wolf sanctuaries for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, maybe she'd have like a road trip. You'd be like, we have a show, like a road trip wolf, you know, we rescue wolves on the road and they come here. They're going to have to pay. Exactly.
Just going across the different states. Rescuing all the wolf dogs across the country.
Yeah, all the wolf dogs. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's something. You can pitch it. You can see if it works.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not
Alicia,
bad.
I want to.
I'll hop on.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, right? Yeah, exactly. Alicia will have all the DMs and she can help us where we need to go. We can GPS.
She can drive.
That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how I made it, but I did. My God.
Yeah, it's really impressive actually, because a road trip without a wolf, a road trip with one dog can be a lot of details, just where to stop and what to do with the animal on the long drive and bathroom breaks and food and all that stuff. I don't know how you did it with Jax, to be honest, specifically with Jax.
I don't know if this is like the time, but I have my little book in front of me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is him in the ice because there was no air conditioning. I felt so bad. So I was like,
oh, yeah, I want to see this.
A little worm.
I know. And this is him and his friend. Actually, I'll just take it out of this book. This was the other, it might not be a beagle. I'm not sure what kind of dog it is. I'm just a wolf girl, but this is him and his friend.
That is funny.
Oh my God.
So it was definitely, it was a challenge for sure.
Wow.
I have tons of pictures and videos I'll send you guys.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, no, you got to send them.
Him and Daisy meeting for the first time.
Was I there that day? I think I came later that day.
Yeah, I think you were there.
I actually, I feel like I was there when he came in through the back gate. I feel like I saw him right then.
No,
now he's gigantic.
Yeah, he's a giant.
Yeah, I mean, worth mentioning too. It was you're talking about the challenges you had with him when he. I mean, now that I think about it, he was a little guy. I mean, now he is big. Like he's a big boy. I couldn't imagine. I was lucky enough to work with wolves at Wolf Connection for years, and I can't even imagine what it would be like to manage a critter like Jax at home.
Oh, yeah. And so some of the people DMing me, gosh, this woman had beautiful, beautiful wolves, and she didn't mean to have them. It was actually a situation where I could get this messed up, but somebody that did have them died, and so she was the new caretaker. Yeah, and she was like, I don't know how to care for these, you know, but they were huge. And I'm sitting here like, well, my Toyota Camry can't handle that. I don't know. It's, I mean, I was lucky that he was as small as he was, because it would have been a completely different story if he was 90 pounds, you know?
Oof. Wow. He wouldn't have fit in the car.
Yeah, putting him in the truck would have been, oh man, that is just, yeah. I mean, like I said, kudos to you for, again, I think just for doing the research, for literally trucking and getting him out here, and the fact that you still have the connection with him, and really wonderful that you were able to get out here and see him. And I think that's a huge thing, I think, is that people need to understand that there are individuals that really care for these wolves and wolf dogs, and that it's not, sometimes it is just a drop off, but people such as yourself and others that have donated over the years and sponsor over the years for our pack is just, it's really good to see that connection isn't broken, and that you're still involved and you're still want to know how he is.
Yeah. And you brought him at the right time too, right? Because unfortunately for a lot of our animals, they come with some serious, like, deep traumas, and it's very hard to soften those, to soothe those. And you brought him at the right time, and you did the best you could while you had him. And that definitely shows, because he's so open and expressive and adventurous and, you know, open to connection. And so he's going to have a great life because of that.
Well, thank you guys. I mean, thank you for everything that you do and all the work that you put in, and, you know, just advocating and, you know, educating people. There's a lot of people that, you know, told me that I was like quitting and giving up, and I was like, you're misunderstanding the entire thing. So what you guys do is really important. And, you know, I'm so grateful that you had the perfect place for him. And I'm so grateful that you're able to use these wolves with these hard experiences. You know, I know you have some that have had their lungs, their vocal cords taken out. You've, you know, some with severe disabilities, and you get to help the at-risk youth kind of like learn strength and resilience. So I absolutely love everything that you guys do. And I would, you know, hopefully one day I'll get to come back and kind of see it more in action, or maybe I'll be around more often, but I am super grateful. And thank you guys so much for having me on here too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
No, I got to ask you one last thing, Alicia, before I let you go, is answered some of it. So when you hear the word wolf, what's something that comes to your mind?
For me, I think of the wolves in my life. But I also think of like free spirit, you know, following impulse and trusting your gut and trusting intuition and having that huge connection with nature and loyalty and respect. I mean, I think a lot of things when I think about wolves, and it's funny because I said this before, but they're just so opposite in dogs. Dogs care so much about validation and doing the right thing, and wolves care about doing what makes them happy and doing their own thing and being so independent. So those are the things that I think of, and that's why I think that they're so cool.
Awesome.
I love that.
What do you guys think of?
Oh, we got a reverse on us. Steven, you go. What is
it? First thing that comes to my mind when I think of wolves, honestly, fun. I think of fun. I think of laughter. I think of play. I think of authenticity. I think of streams. I think of dirt, mountains. Yeah, those are the first things that come to my mind without me thinking too hard.
I think of adventure. I don't know why that just popped in, just because there is so much out there. And I've always wondered if I could be, if you could, you know, see through, just sort of take their, you know, take their eyes and like be inside that somehow and see what they see for just a day. Because when we went to Yellowstone, I was thinking that. I go, what do these wolves see every day? What animals do they see every day? What, you know, what's the feel of it? It's just got to be every day is new. It doesn't matter if they've taken a certain trail, but I think adventure is the one thing that I think right off the bat, because there's so much to see and so much to do. That's what would come to me, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it.
I was going to ask you guys a question, but you go first.
Yeah. Ask it. Go for it.
I was going to say, okay, what brought you guys to Wolf Connection? Because I think it's such a, it's a niche thing. So how did you guys get into this?
I'll go. So I actually, Elena and myself actually went on a, basically a walk with wolves. Gosh, it's got to be over 5 years ago now at the old property, the first property of Wolf Connection. And I mean, after we were there, I'll always remember this, is that Coda actually somersaulted into my lap on the way up to our cars because they brought Coda out and he was a younger pup at that point. And they brought him out to meet us on the way back to our cars. And so he licked Elena and then he flipped into my, you know, he was like kicking me and flipping into my lap. And I was like, is this a thing that actually happens? And Elena started right after that. She was like the next week she started. And then after I cleared my schedule, I was probably 3 months or so after that. And it'll be 5 years in August. So I can't believe that time has passed already, but that's how I got there. Yeah.
I went to a community hike first. I always had a thing for wilderness, I guess. And bears, lions, and wolves, I associate those species with really remote wilderness. That's always sort of calling me in some weird way. So I think a friend of mine went to Wolf Connection, told me about it. At the time I had just moved to California and I was sort of, really probably the only time in my adult life that I remember feeling very lonely. And I had a lot to do. You know, I was coming and starting this new thing and this new career path and doing quite a bit of work, but just not a lot of companionship and not a lot of, I don't know, I feel like I was losing myself to some degree. And so I went to Wolf Connection and I'm listening to Teo tell the backstory. I wasn't really planning on working there ever, but I think how it happened was he said something about some of the responsibilities of employees and volunteers there. And he was talking about hiking with wolves. And that obviously piqued my interest immediately. And I raised my hand and I said, when can I start hiking some wolves? And he said, here, just get this guy an application. So I did the application, went through the process and ended up there. And it ended up really being like the exact thing I needed at the time to just reconnect with myself. And then once I had felt that I had that, I'd felt that reconnection happening, then I became really open to a lot of other aspects of my life that I was interested in. And that deepened my connection with them. And they helped me deepen my connection with other people and my connection with my power, really.
I love both of those stories, but I love how many times you just used the word connection because, you know, Wolf Connection is the only wolf sanctuary that has the word connection. And right. I think it's such a strong word. It's such a good name because it is all about connection. There's all different types of connections and relationships and ways to kind of ground yourself and different ways to feel. So I think it's a great name that embodies everything that you guys do. And people that are looking for that connection through an exotic animal, there's ways to do it without owning one. So, you know, they can donate, they can support, they can adopt, they can show up and support, companies like you guys. So I love that that's how you guys got into it. And other people who are looking, you know, to have a close relationship with wild animals, you know, they can do the same thing. They can volunteer, they can work.
I think we're going to have you on our marketing staff. I love it. And everything that you're saying is, yeah, I know. I'm putting in a
and we need a third co-host on the podcast.
Maybe.
I will come on this podcast anytime. There's so much to dive into. There's different topics you could go into, you know, just how COVID has affected you guys. I know how it's affected veterinary hospitals. I know how it's affected different animals. You know, it's affected the donations and funding and the events you guys can do. You know, you can talk about even, I don't, I don't know, I'd probably have to go back and look, but the relationships between, you know, the at-risk kids that you have and the wolves and, you know, what that looks like and the events that you do there. I mean, there's so many questions that I would love to go in and, you know, ask you guys about. So if you ever want me back, I will come back.
Yeah, absolutely. She can interview
absolutely.
Us,
you know?
I would love to.
Yeah, I know. Actually, that's a great idea. We should do that. I think we're going to float that as an idea. So we'll have Alicia host one, and then she can reverse it on us, Stephen, so we don't have to come up with the questions for once. That'll be good. That'll give me a break. That'll be the first time in, 52 or 3 episodes where I won't have to go with the research for a minute. That'd be great. Now, yeah, this is good. I love it. I love when we have ideas that are just spur of the moment. Alicia, before we let you go, just tell everybody your Instagram handle and any places where they can contact you, because you seem to be really a sort of a beacon for people to ask these questions if they have any ideas about wolves or wolf dogs, especially on the East Coast. So where can they contact you? Where can they see? And you have an Instagram, I think, set up for, I think... You had one for Jax, I think, when he was there, but just tell everybody where they can look and see maybe old pictures of Jax and things like that, and for you.
Yeah, my personal one is Alicia_Jones, but it has 2 A's. So it's Alicia_Jones. And that that definitely has its own highlights of, you know, Jax and Miko. And then my wolf one is Wolf Whisperer. And I think that's all it is. And I do have a ton of stuff up of Miko and Jax and current and old, and then I'll recycle because obviously I'm not there with Jax, but I'm double checking it because I actually haven't been to it. Yeah, it's Wolf Whisperer. So just like you think it would be spelled. I just was trying to be clever when I made it. That's where you can reach me.
Alicia, this was great. Thank you so much. We are clearly going to be collaborating in the future because we'll have that. I think we'll do that episode where you can interview us. That'll be fun. And you're welcome. You're welcome back anytime. And then please let us know when you're back in town so we can all, maybe we can do one where you're actually here at the ranch. That'd be cool.
I might be back in town sooner than you think, guys. So I am happy to stay in touch and I would be happy to do, an interview for you guys. So let's stay connected. Thank you so much for having me on.
Let's do it. Thank you.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you so much, Alicia. Thanks for all you did for Jax, and thanks that he's here with us now. So howls to all you out there, and Steven, myself, and maybe Alicia will be with you all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Looking to support Wolf Connection or sponsor one of the wolves in our pack? Just go to wolfconnection.org, click on the donate tab, and find out more information.